So last Sunday, I started a sort of mini-series looking at three values, three things I think that have really been really important for us. Kind of this 10th anniversary of my start here at 13 years, if you kind of include the 3 years I was part-time. And we focus on the fact that as a church, we are and have been and need to be missional. We need to be a church that is about mission. First and foremost, we need to recognise that God has entrusted to us this task of telling the world about Jesus. So we've got another one today, and we've got another one next week. Anyone want to hazard a guess what this week's might be? Compassion. That's very good. It was going to be compassion, but we changed it to grace. How would have that worked out? You know, it's amazing how God does these things. And then there's another one next week, so come back for next week to find out what the third one is. And next week is our harvest service, so do come along for that. We've got a lunch after the church service as well. So if you bring your produce, anything you bring will go to Jimmy's night shelter. It can be food, it can be toiletries, anything really you want to bring that could go to Jimmy's night shelter. Bring it all next week, and then if you can stay on for lunch afterwards, please do. So the theme is grace, and I want to approach it from a couple of angles. Two different angles, perhaps, this morning, although there's lots of overlap, of course. So I'm going to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 2. These are well-known words that probably we've heard in the church a number of times, but I want to focus just for a few moments on these words that Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The first and foremost, the most important aspect of grace is that, first of all, we are recipients of God's grace. God has lavished his grace upon us. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that God's grace is that he kind of makes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. That verse 45, that you may be children of God, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God just blesses the world. We all receive good things. He doesn't judge and say, well, you've been good this week so you can have some sun, and you've been bad so you don't have any sun. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to hold back from you because you've been naughty. You haven't done this and that and the other, so therefore you're not going to get what I'm going to bless you with. He is open-handed in his generosity and his grace towards us. But ultimately, his grace is seen supremely in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. Ultimately, it's about his sacrifice, the sacrifice of his son Jesus for us, that means that we have received not just the grace of fine weather or rain or sun or food or shelter, but we have the grace of being saved. You know, our forgiveness, our salvation, being made right with God is not based upon anything that I do or anything that you do. Whether you come into relationship with God or not, whether you in time will end up in heaven or not, is not based upon whether you have gone to church every Sunday It's not based on how many times you've read the Bible. It's not based upon how many times you pray a day. It's not based on anything that you do. Equally, it's not based on things that you don't do. Whether your name is in the book of life, whether your name is entered into that place of entering into the heaven when you die, that is based purely on the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. That's it. And whether you receive that free gift or not, it is by grace and by grace alone that you have been saved. It is not through anything that you do. You can live the most perfect life. It's not enough. Not enough. Only one way that you can enter into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Our grace, the grace that we receive, is a free gift given to us by God, lavished upon us. And we receive it or we don't. We accept it and take it and allow ourselves to receive this gift, and therefore we enter into this relationship, or we don't. We can look at others and we go, well, I'm better than them. That's irrelevant, folks. It's not about you comparing yourself to other people. It's about whether you have accepted this free gift or not. That is what matters. We are first and foremost recipients of God's grace. But I think the challenge for us, though, and I think I kind of talk about this as someone who's reflected on this myself. You know, we can come to church all our lives and we can be part of a church community. I mentioned last week, I've been a Christian for over 40 years. And you kind of go through the motions and you kind of get to that point, and somehow in all of that, if we're not careful, we lose sight of the fact that we are recipients of God's grace. We take it for granted. I remember when I was at Bible college, I preached on this passage from Hosea, and it stuck with me ever since. Hosea says, quoting the Lord, "But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You should acknowledge no God but me, no Saviour except me. There is only one Saviour. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. And then what happened? Then they forgot me." The nation of Israel, their history is there. God cared for them. God looked out for them. God provided for them. God took them as his own special people. He cared for them. But they took that for granted. Became proud. And then they forgot him. Yeah, I'm going to be quite direct now, because why not? Let's put it out there. And I'm speaking to myself here first and foremost. The challenge for us, I think, as Christians is that sometimes we say the right thing. Words come out of our mouths and we give lip service. But actually, our attitudes and our actions betray what's really going on deep down. And when we come to this whole area of grace, if we're not careful, we give lip service to the fact that, yeah, we know we're saved. We know it's about God and not us. But actually, the reality is, our actions and our attitudes betray us. There are two dangers, I think. The first is this. We act like we have to earn and justify our salvation. We act like we've got to do something. We're driven people. We feel like we've got to prove that we're okay. We know, of course, we know we're saved by grace alone, but actually the reality is that how we live our lives? Is that really how we live? I think sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, sometimes this danger trips us up. And we end up feeling like we've got to do something, we've got to be something, we've got to behave in a certain way in order to justify why we're saved. You are saved by grace alone, through faith. Not works, nothing that you do. Let's not allow that danger to trip us up and to cause us to lose focus on God's grace. The second danger, though, is this one. Well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. Well, actually, I'm better than those people. I never do what they do. And we never say it. Come on, we're Christians. You know, we would never do that, would we? But actually, the reality is we look down our noses at some people. And we cause judgment on our people. We judge people. And we put people in a box. We label people. Let's not pretend we don't do it, folks, because I've been in church enough years to see it and to hear it and to watch it happening. I do it. You come across somebody and you go, well, I'm not that bad. Ooh. God loves every human being. The Bible teaches that he wants every human being to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Longs that nobody should perish without knowing him as Lord and Saviour. Everybody. Nobody is outside of God's grace. Yeah, if we're not careful, what happens is we look at somebody, we read the papers, we go, well, I'd never do that. That's a bit dodgy. And we label people and we put people in a box. Do you know what, folks? There is no difference at the foot of the cross between us and anybody else. We all need a saviour. We all need to know Jesus Christ. Both of these dangers, both of these actions and attitudes which we would never say, we would never say it. Come on, we would never say it. But actually what's going on deep down, it comes out sometimes. Both of these deny God's grace. They deny the grace of God that he wants to lavish upon us. None of us are perfect. None of us are even close to perfect. And that's when we think of, you know, I'll be a Christian, I must be getting closer. No. Long way away from it. You know, I don't care how long you've been attending church. I don't care how many times you've read your Bible through from cover to cover. I don't care how often you pray. I don't care about what you do and what you don't do. What I care about is, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Have you accepted his free gift? That's what I care about. Those other things matter, but ultimately it's not about them. It's not about that. That's not what matters. What matters is, have you received this free gift of God's grace offered to you? Paul urges us in Romans 12, he says to us, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. It's really important that as followers of Jesus, we have balance in our lives. We keep a sober judgment about who we are in Christ. So I want to focus on Ephesians 1 for a moment and read some verses from there. Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Paul says, think of yourself with sober judgment. Do you know what? It's really important that we remember that we are sinners saved by grace. But it's really, really important that we also remember that we are a new creation. We are no longer slaves, but sons. We are no longer those bound up in an old way, but we are those who have been brought into this new relationship with God. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Yes, we still struggle with our humanity, with our flesh, with the temptations of this world, but as those who put our trust in Jesus Christ, as those who have received this free gift, we are now sinners, not sinners, but saints, sons, daughters of the living God. He says in Ephesians 1, we have been adopted into this family. We are those who are co-heirs with Christ. Now, keeping a sober judgment upon ourselves means that we don't get ahead of ourselves. We don't think we're something that we're not. We don't get proud about our relationship with God. We don't become puffed up about the fact that we have this, and you know, we have this wonderful thing, and we must be doing something right to receive it. We do need to recognize and remember that it's by grace alone we're saved, not works, nothing of ourselves. We don't deserve it. But at the same time, as those who enter into that relationship, we are recipients of God's grace and we are called children of God. You are a saint, not a sinner. And it's really important that we grasp that. Because that language, that mindset, how we receive God's grace will affect how we live our lives. Do you see yourself as a sinner? Or do you see yourself as a saint that still sins? If you've entered into that relationship, you are a child of God, a precious daughter, son, co-heir with Christ. Do you see yourself that way? Is that how you view yourself? Because that's how God sees you. Not clothed with rags of sin, but clothed with his righteousness. That's how God sees you. Is that how you see yourself? We receive God's grace. It's not us. Nothing of me. I don't deserve it. Doesn't matter what you do. You cannot earn it. It is a free gift of God. Just receive that free gift. And as you receive that free gift, enter into this wonderful relationship with a God who loves you, who calls you, who anoints you as his son and daughter. You're a saint, not a sinner. I want to move on to the second angle. I want to come, because if we are, first of all, recipients of God's grace, secondly, we are agents of God's grace. Jesus, time and time again, taught this. Words that are in Matthew chapter 10, but this teaching comes through time and time again from Jesus. He says, freely you have received, freely give. You receive God's grace freely. It's a free gift. So why are you hanging on to it? Freely give it away. Freely give God's grace. What does it mean for us to freely give? Well, that's what we're going to think about for a few moments. Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. One of the values that I believe we have as a church is that we seek to be a community that blesses people, that offers meal or water or company, help practically when people need it. Do we do it and share the gospel? Often we don't get a chance to talk about Jesus. But the king in that passage there doesn't talk about what they say, it's about what they do. It's about what you do. And we do it in the name of Jesus. And Jesus sees that and receives that as us doing it unto him. I know from 25 years of serving in church that there are times where I get taken for a ride. I know that there are times where people take advantage of me. I know that. I've had a conversation with many people over the years. I know that there are people who will say, well, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. And they never do. So what do you do the next time they come ask you for something? What do we do when people ask us for things? How many times do we bless? How many times do we serve and we give? How many times do we apply this principle, freely you've received, freely give? Well, I'll freely give up to a certain point. Jesus doesn't say that. Freely give, full stop. You know, I know that I get it wrong sometimes. But I would rather be somebody that gets it wrong by giving away rather than get it wrong by not giving them something. You know, I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know it's a challenge. You know, we go and we do our community days, and, you know, Leon and others will know this. We go and do community days, and it's the same houses time and time again. And you kind of go down and you go, have we got mug written on our forehead or something? Do we go, well, we've done it the last 3 years, we're not going to do it again? Or do we just go, do you know what? We just want to bless you. Freely give. And I would rather freely give than go, well, you've had your 3 years, so I'm not going to do any more. There are times where you need to kind of have a bit of balance and you need to kind of help people to kind of move forward. And I get all of that, I understand that. But sometimes it's really hard, isn't it? We need to be good and wise stewards of that which God has given us. I want to share a story with you now, and it's a story that happened a few weeks ago. And I'm not saying this is in no way sharing this to say I'm something special at all. So please, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to use this as an illustration of the sort of stuff. So it was in the summer, and for some reason, there was a run of Wednesdays where I had to change my day off. So I wasn't off on a Wednesday because I had various meetings and other things kind of crept in. And I was in the office on a Wednesday evening. And a guy came in just through the back door. The back door was open. He just walked in. And he'd got a bit of paper from Winter Comfort. And it said on the Winter Comfort thing, you know, food cycle, Bible Baptist Church, Wednesdays. He didn't read the bit in brackets which said first and third Wednesdays. It was the second Wednesday. He turned up thinking he might get a free meal. He's a homeless guy, sleeping outside behind Tesco as a young guy. He talked about his situation. In that moment, I had a choice. I was just packing up. It was 6:30. I was about to go home. I had a choice. Well, I'm sorry. It's food cycles next Wednesday. Come back in a week's time. Really? Well, we've got meals in the freezer. So I said to him, look, I can get you something. I can cook it up for you. So I ended up, got a meal out of the freezer. And we cooked in the microwave. And he sat and had a meal and a cup of coffee. I ended up, on the back of that, I was able to give him a Bible, gave him a New Testament. And just as he was walking out the door, I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. And so I was able to pray for him. Now that's unusual. Don't often get that opportunity. As I was studying in the kitchen, kind of defrosting this pasta dish that was in the freezer, the passage that was going through my head was that passage from Matthew. A glass of water in the name of Jesus. Now he said to me, I'll see you on Sunday, to church. Okay, great, come and see us. You'll be very welcome. Haven't seen him since. Don't know who he is. There's that whole thing about entertaining strangers and entertaining angels. And I was thinking, okay, is this an angel? who knows? I was hoping it was that sort of secret millionaire guy that was, I was going to get a sort of handout and say, oh, bless you. But it wasn't that either. Not that I'm aware of. But here was a guy that presented himself on a Wednesday evening. It was raining outside. This is our summer, obviously, so it's obviously raining in England. It was dripping wet. And I was able to feed him. I was able to feed him because there was meals in the freezer. Because as a church, we have that. In that moment, there was a choice I had to make. What do I do? Jesus says, I was hungry. And you didn't or did feed me. I was thirsty and you did or you didn't give me a drink. I was in prison and you did or you didn't visit me. I was sick and you did or didn't care for me. I had no clothes and you did or you didn't clothe me. I was lonely and you did or you didn't visit me and give me the time of day. Give me a hug. Care for me. Did or didn't? Do you know what? This is the challenge of following Jesus. And I will never apologize. I didn't apologize last week for being a missional kind of guy, the kind of guy that will kind of challenge us to love God, to love people, and to go and make disciples. I make no apologies for the fact that I will continue to encourage us to be a church that gives God's grace freely. And that might come into conflict, and you might get frustrated, and you might go, do you know what? Got mug written on your forehead, Stuart. Well, sorry, I have. But I'm not going to stop encouraging us as a church to care for people. Because we never know. We don't know what impact that has. We don't know what God is going to do with that. Each one of you, every day, rub shoulders with somebody that needs something. Something that you can help with. It might be as simple as a smile. It might be as simple as just allowing somebody to talk to you. You're not doing it for that person. I didn't do that for that lad. He did it for Jesus. And he takes care of the results. He has to worry about what happens next. And so when people come to the church and they need some food, they need someone to clean their house, they're lonely, kind of do it in the name of Jesus. And if they take advantage of us, well, that's up to Jesus to deal with. Learn my lessons. Next time we're a bit wiser. But we continue to bless people. We are both recipients of God's grace. Freely you have received. Freely give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you see us and you love us and you open your heart and your hands and you bless us. Thank you that when you saw us trapped in our sin and a way of life that was leading to death, you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. And you offer through Jesus forgiveness and new life, a new relationship, a new start. You offer us to come into that relationship with you as children of God, not because of anything that we've done, but because of your grace. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this morning, in this time, we would receive your grace afresh. Maybe there are some here who have never come to that moment where they have entrusted themselves to you. Lord, by your Spirit, would you work in them? Call them to yourself. And may they put their trust in you. Receive that free gift through faith. But Lord, as those who have received freely, help us to continue to be a church that gives freely. Gives without judging, gives without condemning, gives without looking down our noses, gives not through gritted teeth, but give cheerfully and willingly to you. May we see what we do as a way to serve and to bless. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.